Apologize for the delay. Karen? Yes, I would like you to please describe how WFPA collected the data and brought it forward to the science panel, please.
Great, thank you very much. For the record, my name is Karen Terwilliger. I'm the senior forester for the Washington Forest Protection Association. Thank you for this opportunity to chat with you a little bit about data. I don't know if I'll be answering all of the questions that were raised today, but as we were going through the process, I was trying to jot them down. And what I'm about to address is the way that WFPA came up with the data set that we submitted to the science team for their review. I just wanted to first say that on behalf of WFPA and I think all the other stakeholders in this process, this was a very fast, very frustrating process for a lot of us because things moved very quickly. The deadlines that were set up were not set up because stakeholders were thinking about this in a reasonable way to move forward, but that the board set them up. We also had the expectation at the end of the last board meeting that although the board said that recommendations would come back in August, if there was an opportunity and a need to collect more data or have more discussion prior to the August board meeting, that it would be reported to the board and recommended that we wait until such time as the fuller data sets or whatever needed to happen would come forward. That situation did not occur. So I'm going to give you a little bit of the history of this and then talk a little bit about the data itself. So Hans, I think, was correct when he said that the request for data came very quickly after the initial request came very quickly after the board meetings, about May 15th. And keep in mind, and I'm hoping that this will give the board some information as you go forward in doing scheduling for rulemaking and the rest, you probably have, or staff probably has, about 7 or 8 weeks between board meetings to get work done before the board mailings have to go out, before the information has to be put into the right context. So the request for data came about May 15th, and with the request, there was no format. There was no spreadsheet. There was no request for what kind of data specifically. There was some general ideas in terms of what the data might include. And there was no study plan for how that data would be used. Study plans are important for WFPA for two reasons. One is because we don't generally put together data or give data without a study plan. And my board of trustees was very adamant about that. And secondly, we needed to know what kind of a study plan was going to be in place so that we could give the data, the appropriate data, to the science team. And that was not forthcoming. The Board of Trustees for WFPA made the determination that we would collate, compile data, and the WFPA staff would do that. Wanted it to be blind to landowners so that there wasn't proprietary information inadvertently shared. So that was part of the reason that we said that we would compile it. At the last Forest Practices Board meeting in May, I think you all heard from several landowners that said they had data available. And so I think that the implication was given that there was a nice big data sets in electronic form at all of the companies. Well, Doug Hooks and I started to ask our own companies to share data, which we had to have a data sharing agreement with every single one of them that was going to share, and we looked at the state that their data was in. And it ranged all the way from more elaborate spreadsheets put together to stacks of forest practice or water type modification forms in PDF format. And so as we started moving through this process, the pressure started building for getting the data in and getting the data in on time. Again, we had no sense of exactly what data was going to be requested, and I think that this was probably a frustration of other stakeholders as well. So what we did was we developed a spreadsheet, and I handed out to each of you the metadata that we put together for the spreadsheet. And I'm going to give you an indication of how big this spreadsheet is by rolling out this spreadsheet headers. So what we determined was that all of this information was probably necessary for the science panel to make the decision. What we did at that point was, again, ask for a study design. One was not forthcoming, and the reason why is because when you're doing a study, you need to know what data is available to be able to do it. But our folks wanted to make sure that we knew what was going to be done before they submitted data. So we actually submitted a sample data set, and I think it's listed in as one of the data sets in your report. And then we requested a meeting with the science team to make sure that we were putting together the appropriate data. That meeting did not take place until June 30th. So while we had started putting the data in this kind of a data analysis, we really didn't know until June 30th if that would be appropriate data and enough data to make the determinations. At that point in time, they said that it was, and we had about 2 weeks to get the remaining data into the system. So it was very quick. And the reason I go through that in depth is because I think that there may be a consideration going forward of getting more data from water type modification forms into the system. And I just want you to know it is not an easy or inexpensive thing. The other thing that was hampering us during that process is that it was the end of the electrofishing season. And so it was very difficult to get contractors or company personnel to be able to do this work. Extremely difficult. In fact, with one of the contractors that we used, the only reason that he was able to really do the work was because he had a field staff person that had been injured in the field and was on life duty. Otherwise, we may not have been able to get that information coming forward in the time frame that we had. And we were told that basically if we didn't get our data in by the deadline, it would not be reviewed at all, and it wouldn't be used in the analysis. We didn't know at that time that our data set was actually going to be the data set that would be used. So if we hadn't done this work, we wouldn't have the analysis and the PHPs in front of you. Just in terms of the costs related to this, for the 1,500 points that we put together, I estimate that it's somewhere around $25,000 in terms of staff costs and contractor costs. And that was what the part of the bill that Tom Nelson was talking about. Any other stakeholder or DNR could have mined information in water type modification forms during this period of time. We probably could do it a little bit more efficiently because we had some information in data spreadsheets at the company level or at the contractor level. So in terms of the specifics related to the data that we put forward in the data set that we gave you, we had one company that had, and you know, in retrospect, it would have been nice if the science team had been able to actually develop this and give this to all the stakeholders before the data request went out, so we could have mined whatever data sets were out there to see if we could get all of this information. In retrospect, it probably would have been smart too for us to have given our contractors and our companies a set list of criteria for what data points they pulled, but we didn't do that either. And so we had one company in particular that presented data that was that had both points in it, single end of fish and single end of habitat points, so that you had a full range of information for the spreadsheet. There were some pieces that were not in there. For example, if they did stream removals or there were ID team decisions, those were not included in what they submitted. And the years that they submitted for were 2012 through 2016. One of our contractors that we worked with and really was able to work with him pretty productively has a spreadsheet, a database that has information in it in two different ways. And so he looked at information after 2007. We also, when we met with the science panel, were asked to try and do a geographical diversity in terms of the points that we presented. And so we asked him to look at Northwest Washington and Northeast Washington. Unfortunately, due to the time constraints, we were not able to get the Northeast Washington data in to the mix. We also asked him to look at a variety of landowners. So those landowners he works for a number of landowners, and so he told me he started at the top and went down the list. He did not throw out any specific water type modification forms for any particular purpose. He just used the data that he had. The one thing to keep in mind with that particular land, or with that particular contractor, and if you look on your chart, you'll see that we have a column here for whether or not there was a concurrence. And so in some cases, those points, because it was a contractor that turned over the water type mod to a landowner, and the landowner turned over the water type mod to the agency, you may not have known precisely whether those had been concurred with or not, but all of that information was disclosed. So that's essentially the process. There's additional information from other companies that we did not have time to compile, both at the contractor level. And I have, I don't know how many flash drives of PDFs of water type mods that are sitting on my desk waiting for me to go through them. So I just wanted to say just a couple of additional things, and that is, this has been a very stressful project, as you might imagine. It's been stressful all the way around for many different reasons for all of the stakeholders. But during this time frame, landowners have been basically accused of stonewalling and stalling getting the data put together. And I think you see why the process took as long as it did. We've also been accused of tampering with or manipulating the data in some ways. That didn't happen. We got as much data as we possibly could in a short time frame. And then ironically, at the last TFW policy meeting, we were criticized for not focusing more on Eastern Washington. So either you love the data, you don't love the data. It's been just very interesting in this discussion. So in closing, we provided a quality product in a very short time frame. We didn't establish that time frame. We didn't establish the process, but we responded as effectively and efficiently as we could within the time and budget constraints. If DNR or others are asked to mine data from water type modification forms, we stand ready to assist you in that discussion. It may be interesting or preferable to have a group of stakeholders mine that data just so that there isn't suspicion about how it's done. And then I can't remember who mentioned this earlier today, but someone talked about using the system that we have, the FPAR system or the new FPAR system, to be able to put things together in an electronic form that can actually be mined into databases without going through this entire process. And WFPA enthusiastically supports that. So, do you have a question?
You can help me get money for that, right?
That is above my pay grade.
Does the board have any questions about how WFPA put together the data that was used in by the science group?
I just want to say thanks for your efforts. I don't have any particular questions, but when you explained to me the other day what you just explained, it's like, wow, that was a lot of work. And so just appreciate it. Just wanted to say that.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Karen. Now what I'd like to do is call up Mark and Hans. Because what I'd like to do is transition. Based on everything you've heard this morning, we've heard from the science panel about how they did the study. We've heard from WFPA about the data they put together for the science panel. You've had all kinds of opportunity to clarify in your own minds how the report was put together and what it means and so forth. And you've heard from the public. So what I'd like to do is make some introductory remarks, and then I'm gonna kick off some suggested motions, and we'll see where we go from there, okay?
So I would have a motion also to put forth to the table.
Okay.
At the proper time.
Okay. All right. So I just want to also acknowledge the timeline around this process was very, very tight. My staff is telling me it was a sprint. And as you know, if you're a runner or past runner, sprinters, you know, peter out after a while. And so what I'm going to be suggesting here is that, you know, what we need to do is we've been on a marathon for about 2 years now, and we've got some more time to go. And we don't want our sprinters to peter out. We want them to get to the end of the finish line as if it's a marathon, okay? So that's my analogy of the day. I want to acknowledge Hans and the technical team and the great job they did in adhering to the timelines. I mean, one of the caucuses just said to me flat last week when they said they wouldn't be here today is, I didn't expect you guys to deliver. So thank you for doing that. I want to acknowledge WFPA's work in bringing data to the table that could be analyzed. So I appreciate that. However, there's a couple of things that I think that we need to consider. One is, because of the type timeline, there's been limited ability for everybody involved, both at the board level and around the table, to actually digest the board, the report, and understand all its nuances. The stakeholder group met before the report was out with the science panel. I know that Hans has been trying to bend over backwards to meet with stakeholders to help explain that. But the question I have in my mind is, if we have just a little bit more time, can that understanding of those nuances be improved so that we get more people in the yes column, let's put it that way. And I really thank Karen for coming up and sort of exposing what WFPA did in order to bring the data to the table. I think she's absolutely right. If we had, hindsight is 2020, another analogy. The panel probably should have set what data they wanted and QAQC requirements around the data should have been. Now we've got a standard established. I guess the question in my mind is moving forward, and particularly because there is no eSite data that was analyzed, and we have a couple of gaps on the west side data, whether we can augment that data. So for example, you look at that graphic of the state, there's no Central Cascades data, there's no Olympic data in addition to that. So that's the question I have, is whether we could actually take a little bit more time and augment the data, update the report, and so forth. So the downside of doing anything but taking action on what was presented to us today is we're going to miss the water taking window for next year. But we do have existing rule and guidance in place. We have been working hard with landowners. You heard today that some landowners think we need to work harder to be consistent across the state, and we're game to do that. If, in fact, the existing rules and guidance need to stay in place for one more season. The upstack side is we hopefully create more understanding. We'd have a more complete data set to do the analyses with. Perhaps be clear about whether there is a difference between east side and west side. I mean, our current water typing rule recognizes that. So I think that's important. I don't think that should delay staff from going ahead and drafting our rule and the guidance with the absence of, you know, blanks where the metrics would go. And I don't think and should delay the science panel from doing the validation and study design, so that once the, you know, whenever we adopt the rule and implement it, say for the, what I'm suggesting, it wouldn't be implemented until 2019, water tech basis, that we have a study design all ready to go. Maybe we can meet some of those objectives, like have a database where all this stuff goes into by then, things like that. So that it's clear that we've got a 2-year validation study, and then time, of course, to do the analysis to bring back to the board any tweaks that are necessary in order to make sure we're doing the right thing. So that's sort of where I'm at. So with that, I'd like to put up the first motion, please, Patricia. And I've broken this into bite-sized pieces, and there's 6 of them. And if you guys, because it seems like we've had better success with that than we've had in the past. And what I want to do is, as we go through these, I want to make sure that the board is free to continue to ask staff about what's realistic. Because basically, the series of motions I'm going to put up here suggests that we augment the data by the November meeting. The science panel has a chance by February to deliver us a new report, along with staff delivering rules and so forth, so that the board could vote on things then. We could do the economic analysis in the spring, and our 102 would happen in May. So that's sort of the big picture. Okay? So I'll just kick this off. I move the Forest Practices Board delay approval of the PHB recommendations until February of 2018. This action will provide time to gather and analyze Eastern Washington data, provide some, along with looking at the data we already have, documenting the QAQC. We can wordsmith this a little bit on that second sentence. Provide that was provided to the science panel and build understanding around the PHB report. I further move that the board direct the adaptive management program administrator to work with, I think I just said that. Anyway, we want to document what Karen just said as an addendum to the report. And at the appropriate time, we want to publish the data. And we could probably do that either immediately, or we could do that as we augment the data for the whole final report. So let me just start there. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Paula. Other board member Sadeen. So let me open it up for discussion. And of course, friendly amendments on the motion. Board Member Willett, I'll start off.
Yeah, question. You said that you had 6 motions. Is that what you said?
Yes, sir.
So we have 6 separate motions relating to the same subject?
Yes. Would you like to see them all?
I think that would be appropriate, that if there's 6 motions out there, that we would be able to review them all and evaluate them before we make a decision on the first one.
I'd be happy to make sure that happened.
Yes, and I would like to include my motion in those 6, if I could.
That'd be great. Board Member Gunther. Okay. Board Member Nelson.
Depending upon where these 6 motions, 7 motions with Bob's, I may have one to offer as well.
On the fly?
It won't be as complicated as that.
Okay. Trust me. All right. So, Patricia, can you print them out and then bring us copies for the board, please?
Yeah, I'll just give mine to you.
That'd be great. All right.
Steven.
Board member Davies.
In the interim, and I don't know if this is going to come up in another motion, but I thought I heard you say that we would consider other eco-regional data as well as Eastern.
Absolutely, that's in one of the subsequent ones.
All right, thank you.
Will there also be discussion of the kind of data that's included? Or I guess the source of the data. So I heard an interesting comment from one of the public members, and I can't remember exactly who it was, but that bar type modification forms are the only place where, you know, data was collected that verifies what matters.
Thank you for that question. Here's what I think the science panel needs to, either based on what they've already done, make a decision on what they need to augment the analysis and put that out. As you heard from Karen, they're willing to step forward with more data. So if they're willing to do that, if it's any change from what they've already provided, hopefully not, but then you would, anybody can provide data, but I think our major source of data is the water type mod forms. And DNR has made a decision that we're gonna put some skin in the game on this and try and go through, since we're the holder of the water type forms. And we have a short-term opportunity to actually pull particularly the east side stuff, and to the extent we can, others, and actually add to the data, okay? But that doesn't mean others couldn't provide it, as long as I've met some kind of data standard. Do you want to speak to that at all, Hans?
Well, on May 15th, when I put the call out for the data sets to different people, I did specify what we needed. So just to be clear, it wasn't in a spreadsheet, but there were specific elements of the data that we needed. And so we have the specifications on what that would look like. And in terms of drawing a sample from water type mods for the east side, what we would do is we would come up with a method, a way to do that, that we would document, and QAQC procedures would also be documented. So the science panel will come up with criteria on how to use water type mods in the most effective and representative. So if there is an opportunity to work with other stakeholders on pulling some of those data sets together, it would be done under that framework that the science panel would develop.
And we would be, of course, welcome other help.
Definitely.
Does that answer your question?
I'm going to hold off, Patricia, until I see with all the other six. I may offer a friendly amendment to Bob's, if that's all it looks like. So I do have some notes here.
So Patricia, or is somebody bring in?
Just getting ready to print it.
Okay. And I'll suggest we take a short break so we can read them. Is that all right? Yeah.
While we're waiting, can I ask another question?
Yes, absolutely.
It's kind of on the report. And let me find it, but it had something to do with the table in the table that we were all referencing for the different, the way the different criteria came out.
Table 3 on page 22?
Exactly, that one. Yes, this one. So the option or the configuration that the science team recommended had the difference in up and downstream gradient of 5% and the channel width change of 30%, and then there was a barrier one. But the way that it was presented was it could be one or more of them. But I my question is, are the numbers in terms of the percent of EFH points captured, is that looking at least in this table, the...
Just the two.
The two and the, like, sort of the interaction between
yes.
them? And so what's the, what your recommendation is to use just one of them? So did you do an analysis of accuracy on, say, if you were just gonna use the change of channel?
We did a lot of permutations of that.
Mm-hmm.
We were trying to come up with size and gradient because that was what we were, you know, targeting.
Mm-hmm.
So that was why we presented them that way. The gradient in and of itself, if you want to hear what that is,
yeah.
I actually do have that. The gradient difference up and down 5%, change of 5% in gradient, it captured 74% of the points, just gradient by itself.
Mm-hmm.
It was the best fit of the gradient metrics that we evaluated, and the error was 10.5.
Mm-hmm.
And for the 0.7, which was also the highest, the 30% reduction in terms of stream width, it captured 60% just by itself as one metric, and the error there was only 6.7%. So it was really pulling the best fits from those different elements to try to see how they would work synergistically, knowing that you would use some combination on a given site, right? If you were, it wouldn't always be gradient, just like it wouldn't always be size. There could be some situations that would favor one versus the other, some unique situation of the stream. So that was what we were that's what
yeah.
we were trying to get at.
But I thought I understood your recommendation to be you could use just one as a
each one of those could be a PHB. In the example that I used, I had one of gradient, one of width, and
right.
one of
right.
area.
Right. So, but that's I guess I'm raising this because, you know, when I look at the option that you guys put, I mean, these are high numbers, but your recommendation in the field could be using something that only has, that only got 60% of the points. And that's really different.
So the idea was to get at having something for size and having something for gradient. It was for both of those. So if you use those two within the water type, within the distribution of the water type mods that we had,
mm-hmm.
that you would capture 92% of those by using those two, right? And so the same thing worked on the physicals. It was, you know, using those two as the basis for making the decision point,
mm-hmm.
collectively, that would be the fit that you would get.
Right,
not
I understand
that.
But your actual recommendation could be to use just one,
yeah.
right? And that's so this table suggests a higher level of fit and accuracy than what you were recommending to implement in the field, is what I'm getting at. Because your recommendation says you could use one or more. So you could use something that just had a 60% accuracy of capturing
right.
the end of fish habitat.
Right, except you don't use them individually. Right, it's a system. So you're looking at the criteria that would be used for the PHB, and in the absence of, you know, another. If you're using size and gradient, it's a system using size and gradient. So that was the intent by the 92%, because it isn't just one. If you selected one criteria to use for PHBs and you just said it's 5% gradient,
mm-hmm.
we don't care about size, we don't care about anything else, we just care about change in 5% gradient, then we get whatever that was, 74% in and of itself, just one metric.
Right. So I'm looking at the report on page 13. It says a potential habitat break will be identified as a point along a stream channel where one or more of these changes.
Right.
So in the field, you could use one criteria, and one of those criteria, which was the change in channel width, had a relatively low chance. And so your field implementation, you could use just one.
Yes.
Right.
Right.
And so that, and what I'm pointing out is that that accuracy level is lower than how you present the information in Table 3.
I understand your point, but I respectfully disagree.
Okay.
Okay, so explain to me what you mean. We're getting the motions, we can move on, but explain to me where I'm wrong when what you say is that you can use just one of these criteria to be a PHP.
She's right. So my point is that this is a system, okay? And it includes both size and gradient components. And so in order to try to understand picking the best combination of size and gradient, think of it that way. Trying to figure out which is the, you know, if you individually as you go, well, that's the best fit for size, and that's the best one for gradient. So those are the two we're gonna use. That's what we did. And so individually, if they were the only ones that you used as the determination for all of the water type mods, then you would have a 74% on gradient and a 60% on channel width, just by themselves. But because we're putting them both into the mix and trying to figure out the distribution of points, that's the idea. And the point here being that you could argue about whether or not those are the right ones to use, or if you should present them individually and then select it using a different criteria. But what we were trying to do is come up with the best fit of combination of size and gradient. And that was the combination that gave us the best fit. Individually, it gave us the best fit. Collectively, it gave us the best fit. On the 74% that gradient worked, that alone did the explanation. There were others that size alone gave an explanation. And so that was the whole idea, is trying to get at what that interaction was, not of and, but together in combination for some places this one, some other places this one, what's the best fit. And so that's how those are ranked. And so what I would say is, and I think Phil pointed this out, is rather than focus on, well, that's a 92% fit. It's not, I don't really care about the numbers. It's the one that's the best. And how much better is it? Well, there's a couple that are at 89.4.
Maybe we can continue this discussion later, especially
do
since
this
we're
offline.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, because I think you're missing my point.
Okay. Sorry.
Okay. So let's take five while we read the motions, and then we'll come back to where we